On June 6, 2006, members of the Caddo Nation Cultural Preservation Office came to the Shiloh Museum to reclaim the skeletal remains of a Caddo Indian. The remains were part of a large collection of Native American artifacts acquired by the museum in 1966 from the archaeological collections of former Springdale Mayor and Judge Guy Howard. The Shiloh Museum cooperated with the Caddo tribe in this process in compliance with the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, or NAGPRA. NAGPRA is a federal law enacted in 1990 to protect Native American burial sites and to return Native American burial and sacred materials in museums to their rightful tribes. Museums were required to submit inventories and summaries of Native American burial and sacred materials in their collections to the Archaeological Division of the National Park Service. These were listed in the Federal Register and released in a comprehensive public database. Grants available through the public service are enabling the return of Native American burial and sacred materials to tribes. The Shiloh Museum completed the inventory and summary process as required by NAGPRA in 2000. I'm Carolyn Reno, Collection Manager of the Shiloh Museum, and I interviewed Robert Cast, the Historic Preservation Officer, Bobby Gonzalez, NAGPRA Coordinator, and Lyman Canute Sr., an elder of the Caddo Nation, about their efforts to reclaim Caddo remains and sacred materials. We started out with Robert Cast telling us a little bit about the beginnings of the Caddo Nation Cultural Preservation Office.
You know, our Cultural Preservation Office was basically set up through funding, through a NAGPRA grant in 93. By a lady named Mary Cecile Carter, a Caddo tribal member who received a NAGPRA grant, one of the first there at the time in 93. That kind of brought the tribe into this bureaucratic realm of NAGPRA, dealing with federal agencies, museums, collections, those type of issues. Later on in 95, the tribe received several other grants. There's Tribal Historic Preservation Fund grants that at one time could be able to be used to set up a historic preservation program. I was hired about 9 years ago on one of those grant programs. And so I represent basically the historic preservation part of the office. We deal with archaeological contracting, federal highways, development projects under Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. Bobby, of course, is the NAGPRA coordinator. Lyman is an elder with the Caddo tribe and on the Repatriation Committee. So as that is a background where we're coming from, we basically pull together this expertise. We, like Bobby was telling you guys earlier, is a lot of the decisions we come to regarding NAGPRA repatriation is led directly by the Repatriation Committee. And then we just follow out the decisions that they've made in those meetings. My expertise, again, is in the archaeological preservation end of it, the grant writing, the, you know, trying to get the funds to keep the preservation department going, and whereas Bobby's end is NAGPRA, those issues, repatriation. Lyman is the traditional aspect of what it means to be Caddo, how the Caddo do things today, how they did those things in the past.
And was your grant that you were hired under, is that part of the National Park Service, or is it a different granting arm?
The National Park Service is the funding source for a lot of tribal grants, whether they fall under basically two categories of grants. There's a Tribal Historic Preservation Fund grant that each year it can go up to $40,000 in what's called a documentation type grant. You propose a project to do over a certain amount of time, request the funding through the National Park Service. It's very competitive. They usually select maybe 19 or 20 out of sometimes 125 respondents. This last preservation grant we applied for, we found out just recently we received a grant. The competition was we were in the top 19 and there were 53 other tribes competing for the same funding. So it's a very competitive process on that end. Then the other National Park Service grants are through the NAGPRA grant funding process. Then you have two subcategories, a documentation grant and repatriation grants. And that documentation grant is used to actually go out, document collections, identify the collections, determine, you know, from that preponderance of the evidence that's gathered through the documentation, point to a cultural affiliation to some tribal group. The other grant under the same National Park Service funding, NAGPRA grants program, is repatriation. Those grants go up to $15,000, and they can be to go and actually repatriate collections that you know are culturally affiliated to a specific tribe. Those grants are for federally recognized tribal governments. They can apply for them at any time. Mm-hmm. If a museum, agency, university has presented to the National Park Service inventory of human remains, funerary objects, then you're almost guaranteed that you can get the funding to go repatriate that. Part of that repatriation process is the consultation part. So when we write those proposals and grants, we always put in, you know, a day or two for just consultation, learning about the facility, learning about the collection, learning about the documents behind the collection, you know, all of the things we can, so we can all be on the same page and say, yes, these are culturally affiliated to the Caddo Nation of Oklahoma.
Lyman, when did you get involved, and what has your participation been in this process?
I am one of the day one people, I guess, part committee-wise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're on one of the first.
They started out, we didn't know what the composition was going to be as to how many people. And they came up with a policy later on. First started out with about three of them. I had an uncle and an older cousin living, and two of them. And pretty much traditionally were older than I am. And that went on and on until I got pulled in on the thing. And then another cousin, there was six of us, all men to begin with. Now we don't have no elder. We kind of got to pull from the younger generation to, but I guess I go back to whenever they started, when was it, in the 100 deal, I guess.
I think, yeah. 1996 is,
yeah,
when it was established.
And Bobby, how did you get involved? Said you've been doing the NAGPRA coordinating it for 5 years, is that right?
Yeah, I was basically doing some contract archaeology in Texas, trying to figure out what was going on in the Caddo area and see it firsthand in the field instead of having someone tell me. We heard of a lot of looting going on, and a lot of there was a lot of misunderstanding about anthropology and archaeology on both sides of the fence. And so when the NAGPRA position came open a little over 5 years ago, they basically came looking for me and asked if I would help out. So that's how I ended up being the NAGPRA coordinator, because I was working in the field, you know, of cattle archaeology. And so that just brought me in. You know, one of the reasons I was working in that field again was to help the tribe better understand what all of us need to know about. And then instead of just hearing from, you know, from some letter or some email or some kind of newspaper, you know, about the cats being dug up or something. So that's what brought me back to the NAGPRA spot.
How many other institutions or museums have you visited besides Shiloh Museum in looking and surveying their collections at this point? Can you give me an idea how that's gone?
There's been a number of museums mm-hmm. around the U.S. that we've visited. There's still quite a few more that we have to visit.
Mm-hmm.
We've visited, just to kind of give an example, you know, the Shiloh Museum here is pretty small compared to the museum up in New York City, the American Museum of Natural mm-hmm. History. But still, you know, you have human remains that are related to our ancestors. It doesn't matter how big or small the museum is to us. Mm-hmm. And so we've been from the American Museum of Natural History in New York City to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., to the National Museum of the American Indian, to Harvard at Peabody at Cambridge, to working with the Chicago Art Institute. Tribes repatriated a vessel from the Chicago Art Institute. We've worked with Texas Archaeological Research Laboratory, and I'm trying to look at what they have, and they're getting a grasp on that now, finally. So there's, you know, the Sam Noble Museum at OU. We have agreements with them. We've repatriated collections from Arkansas on paper. Physically, we haven't repatriated the human remains, the unassociated funerary objects from the Arkansas Archaeological Survey, but we have agreements in writing. And so also stuff in Louisiana State University, Northwestern State University, and there's just a number of museums, federal agencies, and smaller museums around in the Caddo area, out of the Caddo area, that we've been visiting, been repatriating. A lot of it in the last several years had been catching up. And what I mean by that, the human remains that you do have here, the notice went out in 2000. Here we are in 2006, just now coming to physically repatriate the skull of one of our ancestors. And it's not that we don't care, and it's just that there's a lot of things going on, and we can pick and choose where we want to go, and it's sad, but we have to do that, because there's just so much, right, there's so much work, and there's only a few of us. And where, you know, you can go to the American Museum of Natural History and there's 2,000 employees. Where, you know, you come to the tribe in our office, there's three. You know, we have a four-state homeland area where we come from. Caddos have been dug into their history for a long time, and there's this stuff all over the place. And so, we have to be a little bit of kind of like an investigation team, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
and really try to figure out what's going on with the collection, how to get there, and all that type of stuff. Any museum would want to know is what we're looking at. So,
I'm sure the public would be interested to know what's going to become of this material. Do you want to? Is it going to go? Some of the pottery, for instance, will that go into museums or? The remains, do you want to tell us, the public, just in general, what happens with those materials?
You know, the human remains, just like any other culture with any kind of feeling at all about, you know, who they are as a people, know that, you know, their grandmother and grandfather, their family and their people shouldn't be on a shelf, shouldn't be gawked at or be science. Different cultures, different people, different races of people feel different ways about those issues. We never intended this to be our people, you know. But since we do have our ancestors on shelves throughout the country, you know, what we want to do is try to figure out where they came from to the best of our ability, if we can. You know, are they female? Are they male? Are they juveniles? Are they adult? You know, who were they? And then once we figure out, if we can, you know, those type of issues, where do we bury them? And the big thing is that, you know, they're on a journey home, and that journey has been disrupted. And, you know, most everyone know archaeology, and digging in the ground is a destructive period. And, you know, some of it today, you know, if there's a road project or a lake being built or a big old skyscraper being built and there's a cemetery there, yes, we rather you maybe move our people and destroy it. But back in the early days in the 1900s, the WPA days, you know, those things went on where human remains and burial mounds and sacred places to us were being looted, being plundered at an enormous rate, and stuff being sold off, even human remains being sold as trophies. We didn't know about that. The tribe might have knew about that then, you know, the people that was before us, but there wasn't really a mechanism like the Native American Graves Protection Act really to find out about what was going on. So the remains that are coming from a Shiloh will be reinterred. And of course we can't do the ceremonies that was done back then. We don't have the body. We have a skull. Mm-hmm. And we have to, I heard some of our elders say we have to shoot at this from the hip, because the elders didn't leave any kind of direction on how to rebury our people, because they never thought they'd have to deal with it. And so now that we do, you know, there's a way that the elders that we have, they know how to handle that. And so our job, my job, is to physically, you know, come get the remains and then get them to an area that our elders and our council or our people feel comfortable and where they need to bury them at, and then bring some sort of closure to that and send them back on their way, you know, try to complete this journey that they're on. As far as the unassociated objects that you don't have human remains from, that may just have a county or a parish, those pretty much are, you know, it's all on a case-by-case basis. But in the past, we've just accessioned those into the tribal museum, and they have their own museum board, and they have their own facility. It's open to the public, and those will be stored there. Who better to handle the stuff than the Caddo if it's Caddo? And so that's how that would be handled.
I just wanted to ask you if there's anything that you want the general public to know, or anything that they can do in support of this process. If there's anything that you'd like to tell them?
I would hope that, you know, the general public realizes that, you know, we are a nation of we the people. Your museums, your agencies, these NAGPRA grant programs, the funding assistance to tribal governments, to museums under the NAGPRA grants programs, museums like Shiloh Museum can request, you know, funding to do projects under NAGPRA. That the general public really has a lot of power in what funding occurs from D.C. You know, I would hope that folks that come here to the museum would, you know, realize there is just a vast history in Arkansas, in the U.S., in the country, and that part of that history is the tribal history of Arkansas and the Caddo people. That history, you know, if we don't know where we come from, we don't know where we're going. I truly believe that. Part of that history cannot be learned unless you spend money to support programs and museums like the Shiloh Museum. You know, on my level and where I work, we write congressmen. You know, tribes cannot lobby Congress, but as citizens, you know, people can write letters on behalf of projects and support for funding. We've met congressmen at public meetings and said, you know, we thank you for supporting those NAGPRA grant programs. That congressman signs off on those programs. Those NAGPRA grants go through those districts, and those congressmen are aware of that funding. In the past several years, those funding programs have been cut drastically. Tribal programs across the board were cut. So it's very important that, you know, the general public realize that, you know, this is part of their museum. This is part of their history. This is part of something that they have a full say in. And sometimes it's just as simple as sitting down, writing a letter, and saying, please support, you know, funding for museum, culture, history, those type of things. I think it's very important.
Bobby, is there anything you would like to say to the public about how they can support repatriation efforts?
The Caddos, being from Southwest Arkansas, they're, even though we have an unmarked burial law in the state of Arkansas, which is a first offense is a misdemeanor, second offense if convicted is a felony. However, we don't have a keep safe reburial area or a cemetery constructed on behalf of the tribe. So, you know, if there's people out there listening to this call for help, I guess you would say, is, you know, remember the Caddo in the Southwest Arkansas area being in Oklahoma, in that we have human remains in Arkansas and other facilities around the U.S. that come from Southwest Arkansas. And our wish tribally is to reinter those individuals back in their aboriginal homeland, closest to where they came from. So if we have human remains that are out there in the Smithsonian, in different repositories, different agencies that are just out there, and we don't have a place to put them or rebury them, you know, if anyone's listening out there that could basically help, write to those senators, those congressmen, you know, the governor, and say, please help the tribe in establishing a keep safe cemetery recognized by the state. And that helps tremendously, because you have a federally recognized tribe that's no longer here, that still exists, that's an ancient tribe that's has ties aboriginally to Arkansas, but in collections and human remains that are out there, but we don't have nowhere to put them at because of all the development that's gone on through all the years, you know. So if anyone wants to really be helpful, you know, please write to the tribe, write to your local officials, and try to help us get something established. And so it's basically what I wanted to say.
I have an interesting question. Is there a part of Arkansas, any area in particular in Arkansas, that you all have kind of thought would be an appropriate spot for a cemetery, or have you considered that?
Well, you know, on federal land, there's a lot of other laws that apply, like NAGPRA applies for one. Then you have the Archaeological Resource Protection Act that applies, and then, you know, it's federal land, you know, trespass and destruction of government property. We'd like, you know, to find a suitable place that's, you know, federal land that will, that we can have those different laws that come into play to protect the remains there. We don't have a place set in stone, you know, as far as a reburial area, but somewhere, you know, in Southwest Arkansas that is reasonably, you know, to get to, that everyone would know if you leave that area, you'll be convicted. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be a marked cemetery. It'd be a place where everyone knows that's the Caddos bury the people there. I think that's, you know, one of the big key things. But no, that's pretty much up in the air right now as far as place, where how it's
about. We do have a meeting coming up in July to look at a particular area near Millwood Lake, I believe.
Right, that's with the Little Rock Corps of Engineers.
Right, okay. And so there's things in the works going on. We've, you know, again, like Bobby said, it kind of puts the tribe in a conundrum when you don't really, you know, the tribal tradition is we want to rebury these remains closest to where they came from. And if we have hundreds of remains and objects sitting on shelves from Arkansas, there's no place really to bury them. And you've heard Bobby say over and talk about the Arkansas does have an unmarked burial law, and it's a felony if you knowingly dig up human remains and do not report them to the state. So in Texas, it's a different story. There is no unmarked burial law, which we have fought for years now on trying to get some type of unmarked burial law in the state of Texas, because all the states surrounding Texas have unmarked burial law protection. But Texas, again, does its own kind of thing. There's a long, long history there in the state of Texas of, you know, Caddo history being desecrated. Looting that's taken place there over the years still takes place in certain parts of Texas. That's why it's very important to have those cemeteries set up. We do have a cemetery in Texas on federal land on Corps of Engineer property because of the Corps of Engineer projects that had taken place in the 60s, 70s that unearthed human remains, funerary objects. Those objects were reburied on a tribal cemetery on Corps of Engineer property, receiving federal protection under federal laws. That's why we try to make that distinction of, you know, state land, private land, federal land, because all of those different, depending on what state you're in, those laws are going to apply differently.
Can we kind of give you an example of why it's so important? The human remains that we have repatriated today are not from Oklahoma. They're from Arkansas, somewhere in the area that you have cataloged the information. This is where we know this person belonged. Now, traditionally, you know, the Caddo way of thinking and doing things is that we rebury him in that area, somewhere close to, even though we may not know the area. But now we have to take him to somewhere that's foreign, to back to Oklahoma. Now, if we don't take him and repatriate him and rebury him, they're going to stay here on your shelf. We don't know how long that'll be. We may not be here to see that. We don't know what can happen with the government, you know, the tribal government, as far as a NAGPRA program, or you know, they've been on the shelf all this time here. This notice ran in 2000. It's 6 years later, so we have to make a choice now that you know, when a museum like Shiloh, well, you know, are you going to repatriate the remains? Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to do that. Then mix things. Well, where do we put them at? Mm-hmm. So we've been impacted, you know, by collectors, by the looting, by the scientific world. And, you know, we're not saying that we're not for science, we're not for education. It's just that it's a lot of this is at our expense. Mm-hmm. And we have to deal with it in... They may not understand what our people think traditionally, and because we come from different backgrounds. What might be science to one person and right to one may be totally taboo or different from a tribal point of view. So that's a new thing that we're have. That's that curveball, you know, that we have to learn is how do we get around this.
Well, I want to thank you all for letting us do this interview today. Thank you for listening to this podcast production of the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History. For more information about the Caddo Nation, you can visit their website at www.caddonation-nsn.gov. For more information about NAGPRA, you can visit the National Park Service's website at www.cr.nps.gov/NAGPRA.